So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. First to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and to the Gentiles, and turn to God, and prove their repentance by their deeds. That is why the Jews seized me in the temple courts and tried to kill me. But I have had God's help this very day, and so I stand here to testify to small and great alike. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Christ would suffer, and as the first to rise from the dead, would proclaim light to his own people and to the Gentiles. At this point, Festus interrupted Paul's defense. You are out of your mind, Paul, he shouted. Your great learning is driving you insane. I am not insane, most excellent Festus, Paul replied. What I am saying is true and reasonable. The king is familiar with these things, and I can speak freely to him. I am convinced that none of this has escaped his notice, because it was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, you believe the prophets? I know you do. Then Agrippa said to Paul, do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian? Paul replied, short time or long, I pray God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains. The king rose, and with him Governor and Bernice and all those sitting with them. They left the room, and while talking with one another, they said, this man is not doing anything that deserves death or imprisonment. Agrippa said to Festus, this man could have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar.
Thank you, Peter. That reading, I shortened it up, but if you want to enjoy the whole story, you can start from verse 1, and then you can enjoy. I've been challenged by events that have been happening during the day, during the week, and I came up with this theme, time to speak the truth. And those are the three subheadings we are going to look at. As Paul was one, he was defending his faith, his beliefs, and his claims. So we are going to put that in a nutshell to fit ourselves in it. Because there is an English saying which says, if a cap fits you, good. So we're going to fit ourselves in those three subheadings of Paul. But before I do that, during the week we were in a Bible study, there is a verse that intrigued me. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. Peter writes to the readers that the end of things is near. Why did this verse intrigue me? The end of things is near. So what should I do if things are about to come to an end? Prepare. Put things right? With who? My wife, my children, my family, my neighbors, right? And then what is going to happen? I put things right, okay? I've asked for whoever I owe their money, I've paid back. If they owe me, they've paid me back. I put everything right. So what's going to happen? The challenge in that verse is, even Christ himself, he said, not even the Son or the angels know when the end is coming. So I was in a sort of quandary on my own. But not to discredit Peter, what he said. Peter is conscientizing us. Be ready anytime. Thanks, Jenny, for that. Anytime, if Christ opens that door this morning to come in here, are you ready? Peter's words cannot go above Jesus' word because Jesus is Son of God. So Jesus said, no one knows when the Son of Man is going to come back. Even the Son himself doesn't know. But Peter says, the end of things is near. The warning he's giving us there is to be ready all the time. And also Jesus talking about speaking the truth. Jesus says, the truth will always set you free. He says that in John 8 verse 32. The truth will always set you free. So may I bring to your attention this morning with that text that we read about Paul. He was speaking boldly and he was speaking the truth. Because on his journey to Damascus, some of you who know the story of Paul, before he became Paul, he was Saul, and he was such a zealous young man to arrest those who believe in Jesus Christ. They used to call them the people of the cloth. He used to arrest them so that they could be persecuted. So with that Damascus experience, now he is a different man. He's testifying because he met Christ on that road to Damascus. When that lightning struck on that day, Jesus spoke to him. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And listen to what Saul says. Who are you, Lord? So if he knew the Lord already, why was he persecuting people, God's people? So Paul, when he gets to Saul, becomes Paul now, he carries on that zealousness that he had when he was Saul. You see that? He's now in defending his faith now in Christ. So the zealousness that he had with as he was Saul, persecuting the people of God, he carries it on to become Paul. Are you in that position today to defend your faith? Or is lukewarm? You remember that Bible said in Revelation, if you are lukewarm, you are going to be spat out because you are lukewarm. You need to be warm. So Paul is warm about his defending his faith, because actually it says the prophets of old, meaning Moses and them, they've spoken about this Jesus. Amen. So we need to defend that. It's not something new, but it's something that is coming to pass because it was said before. So now Paul is defending his faith. But I want these words. He was in chains. Did you hear that? I am in chains. Wow. I am in chains. That, to me, we are all in chains in our lives. Why am I saying so? Sometimes I find it that even my own community, when I am within the community, I cannot openly go around in the streets saying, I'm preaching the living Jesus. You see where I'm coming from and where I'm going? We are in chains. We cannot openly say that. It's either we are told you are disturbing our peace. One day when you are going to catch the train and you find Gilson standing by the platform there trying to preach the living Jesus. Even my people from my own church, they will say Gilson has gone insane. It's true. People from this church, when they find me at the station trying to shout about the living Jesus, Gilson has gone insane. Jenny, what's going on with your husband? The community that you live in puts you in chain. What about your own family members? If there's something that is not according to what you believe should be right, what do you do? What about your friends at work? You see them stealing and you keep quiet. You are in chains. Because you think If I report them, I've betrayed my friend. If I tell them to stop doing what they are doing, they will hate me. So you are forced to keep quiet. This happens. Don't forget, I was also awake at some other time. I used to see people doing it. Toilet rolls were disappearing at Basel Hospital. Chemicals were disappearing. But I kept my mouth quiet, because if I tell, I'm a bad person. So you are in chains. How do you defend your faith? But Paul says, I am in chains, but I am eager that they know about the living Jesus. Even though I am in chains, and let them know about the living Jesus. It is difficult if the devil is on you. When you try to dance in the church, if the devil is sitting on there, you can't dance. Have you seen sometimes when we are even singing in the church, there are some people who don't even sing in the church, but they've come to worship. There are some people who don't even hear the Bible reading when it's being read, but they've come to worship. How do you come to the defense of your faith as Paul did when you're in that situation? You are in chains. But what I am saying this morning, as Paul said, he said, even though I am in these chains, I pray that they hear about what the living Jesus has done. Then you free your chains. Then Paul had his beliefs as well. In his speech, Paul wanted to convince those hearing to become a believing community, because this is a continuity from Judaism to Christianity. He was defending Judaism. Now he is on the Christian side. It's continuity. It's from the old to the new. We always sing that song, isn't it? So this is what is happening. So there's nothing new here. In verse 24, we are told, Festus interrupted Paul's defense and said this: "You are out of your mind," shouted, "and you are insane." Brothers and sisters, if they shout, "You are insane," for the sake of the living Jesus who died and resurrected and who is living today, let it be. I want to be called insane for Jesus, because those are my beliefs. Are those your beliefs as well? Do you want to be called insane for Jesus? Come on, people. Do you? Do you want to be called insane for Jesus' sake? Yes. The whole house should go, yes. Good. Because this is Jesus. With those words of Festus, I want to ask you this morning, are we prepared to carry on, to stop that law and remain in that insanity? Should we remain that sanity until Jesus comes? Yes. Exactly. In that way, we will attract more people to our faith, our beliefs. We can defend our faith. Our beliefs are actually going hand in hand with our actions. What about when we say we want to love people? Is it only speaking, or we should also do in action? True. These are children of God. Right? If one of us here, if I die today, my funeral is next week. How many of you are going to come here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Pardon? I like that. But I'm just giving an example. When we talk of love, ladies and gentlemen, let's truly show love to one another. Right? It's time to speak the truth now. Okay? These two gentlemen here, sitting here, you love one another, do you?
No.
Okay? Yes. They love one another. Have you ever visited him at his house?
No, I don't know where he lives.
You don't know?
No.
Have you ever visited him? I'm not talking about community. We are doing, that is community work. But here we are talking about loving your neighbor. That's your neighbor. You don't even know where he lives. Oh, come on, people of God. We need to speak the truth now. What are we here for? If we can't show our love to one another, we can't even visit each other. If I go to hospital, how many people come? Ah, the pastor is there. He's going to go. Ah, I don't carry your love to your beloved one who has been in this church and is now sick. I'm not convincing you to visit people in hospital, but I'm only saying it's time to speak the truth. This is what Paul was saying. My beliefs are that if my loved one is sick, I'll visit them. If my loved one lives in a different street to me or not in the same house with me, I'll visit them. Those are my beliefs. Jesus was always walking along the seashores with an entourage of people. He was concerned about their well-beings. Are we concerned about well-beings of each other here? Are we? How come we don't visit each other? Is that true love? If I'm sick, you hardly come to see me and you say you love me? Oh, come on. That's not true. It's time to tell the truth. Time to speak the truth is now. Christians, if we change the way we are doing, it's no use for me to go and preach to the outsiders when my own folk, they cannot do what the Bible says. Love one another so that the world will know that you are my believers. Surely, I say I love you and when you are sick, I don't visit you. Oh. These claims, we should stop claiming to be Christians then. When we receive Jesus Christ, let's do exactly what Jesus was doing. Jesus was as a lover of people. Jesus was against people going hungry. Jesus was against people being sick. When they were sick, he prayed for them, laid his hands on them, or he commanded the illness to go away. How are you going to command the illness to go away from me when you don't even visit me when I'm sick? You come here to worship, you can't even sing in the church. So why are you here? Stay at home. When the Bible is being read, you don't even know what has been read. So what are you? What have you come here? It's not becoming a social club, ladies and gentlemen. We are here to worship a living God. We are here to be Christians. When we claim that we are believers, when we claim to be insane for Jesus, this is what it means. Visiting one another, loving one another, caring for one another. Paul claims that he hopes all believers will acknowledge the living Jesus. Is this the hope of everyone this morning? Are you claiming Jesus in your life? And you want to do exactly what Jesus was doing? Please start by one loving one another. Start by defending your faith. Start by showing your beliefs is what you do. Don't tell me about love and you don't even love me. Don't tell me that you feel for me when I've got nothing to eat, when you can't even give me food. Oh, I tend to differ. So those three subheadings won't tell up with me. I don't want to be called insane if I don't do that. Paul is challenging us to increase our defense about our faith. Paul is telling us and challenging us to increase our beliefs in what we do. Paul is challenging us this morning, if we claim that we have received Jesus Christ, let's exactly do as Christians should do. I was challenged by the Archbishop of Canterbury. They had a meeting during the week, and he sent an apology to the gays and lesbians community. He said, "I am sorry for what we've done." Not that is accepting what they are doing. Is saying sorry for what the Christians have been doing to that community. Instead of loving them, we've tormented them. We are supposed to be loving people and then teach them. Not to close our doors. Ah, no gays and lesbians here. No, let them come in and then teach them. What is that you do in private that we don't know? Because the gays and lesbians has come out in the open. Not that I'm supporting gayism and lesbian. No. But what I'm saying is, let's love them and teach them. But don't close the door for them. So this is why the Archbishop of Canterbury was saying sorry for the torment the Christians have brought on a certain community. We all do different things in our lives, yeah? Because we are not all perfect. That's why we always ask forgiveness. So if we are in that trend, let's love one another. And forgive one another as we move on. In that way, we'll be defending our faith. We're defending our beliefs. And we're defending our claims. Where is our hope? Our hope is in the resurrected Christ. Amen? Amen. So if you want to follow that Christ, and remember, you are not fighting against blood and flesh. You are fighting against evil forces that we don't see. And we need Him, Christ, the risen King, so that we can conquer that. 1 John 4:14 asks us to be witnesses. Are you ready to stoop that low and become a witness? What you witness must be exactly what you do. But if you are not doing that, don't be a witness to that. Stand firm. Avoid idols in your worship. Paul says, I've been called insane. I would rather be insane for Christ. With those words of Paul, I want to challenge you. Do you want to be insane or be called insane? It is time to speak the truth. You better be insane for Christ. Let's pray together. Glory be to you, our Father, because you love us. Father, I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you. You always speak the truth, and you want us to follow and do the truth. What we say is what we should do. It's not the other way around. It's not do as I say, not as I do. No, this should be hand in hand. Do as I say and do as I do. These two should work hand in hand. So Father, enable us and help us where we are failing and struggling. On our own strength, we cannot cope. So thank you, Lord, for your word that speaks the truth. Challenge us in our hearts. Challenge us, Father, I pray today. Challenge us to do the things that Jesus wants us to do. Challenge us to speak the truth in all that we do. We are not fighting against blood and flesh, but we are fighting against evil forces. We hear about them, but we've never seen them. Only you, Father, know them. So, Father, we pray that you protect us against the evil forces. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.